And now to herd immunity, the concept that once a majority of the population has been vaccinated or has natural immunity, life will shift back to normal. Dr. Anthony Fauci, the president's chief medical advisor on MSNBC this week, says we have to get away from this elusive concept.
We don't know what that number is for coronavirus because we've never been through this experience before. So rather than people getting hung up on this elusive threshold number, why don't we focus on the end game? And the end game is to get as many people vaccinated as you possibly can, as quickly as you can.
What's your question about herd immunity? It's 800-642-1234. Dr. Tao Voss is a professor of health metrics sciences at the University of Washington's Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation. Dr. Voss, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you very much.
Well, you heard Dr. Fauci there saying we're really hung up on this herd immunity thing and we have to look at this differently. What does the concept of herd immunity mean to you in light of COVID?
Yeah, we've already been putting out messages since the beginning of the year that reaching herd immunity, across the whole year for corona is pretty unlikely. And there are a number of factors that play a role. You have the proportion of the population that has either been infected with corona or has been vaccinated. And the way it looks now in the US, we're going to fall rather short of the target of vaccination that would even come close to a concept of herd immunity. We then have also this spread of new variants, and some of them we call escape variants because they manage to make either your immunity from a previous infection less effective or the immunity that you can get from a vaccination. And on top of that, these new variants are a whole lot more transmissible. And the more transmissible a virus is, the higher this herd immunity proportion has to be for it to take effect. And so I agree with Dr. Fauci that we should no longer think in terms of herd immunity. We should indeed, try and get as many people vaccinated as we can, and not just in the US, but we should think about getting as many people globally vaccinated as we can. With the credentials of the current vaccines being greater at preventing severe disease than preventing transmission, we'll probably have to live with virus circulating for probably generations to come.
Wow. So when you look at this concept of herd immunity, what metric should we be really focused on? Is it getting as many people vaccinated? Is it number of deaths? Is it variants? What is it?
Oh, it's a combination of the proportion of the population that has immunity, either through vaccination or past infection, and the ability of the virus to transmit. And these new variants that have emerged all have in common that they have a much higher ability to transmit from one person to another.
We're talking with Dr. Tao Voss, a professor of health metrics sciences at the University of Washington's Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation, taking your questions about herd immunity at 800-642-1234. Mike is joining us from Shell Lake this morning. Hi, Mike. Go ahead.
Yes. I'm just wondering why the survival rate is, 99.7%? Why are we all in such a freak out about it? I know some people do get very sick, but people are surviving it. So is it really necessary to have all this shutdown and all this insanity over this virus?
Doctor, that's my question. Yeah, Dr. Voss, go ahead with the data you see.
Well, we have estimated that already by now, close to 1 million people have died from COVID. That is taking into account the people that have been recognized as a death from COVID, but also those who have not been recognized as such, but are very likely to have died from COVID.
And just for parentheses here, in the United States alone.
That's in the United States alone, yeah.
Yeah.
By September, we actually expect that globally, this number will get close to 10 million. So we're not talking about a trivial disease. We also see health services overwhelmed in many parts of the country, like it has been in the U.S. When the epidemic was at its peak. On top of that, we also recognize that even people who have had milder forms of disease, about 5% of them continue to have complaints past the immediate infectious disease period, the so-called long COVID. These are people who are very out of sorts when they suffer from this. And we reckon that in milder cases, you know, on average, this will be, you know, lasting for 2 or 3 months. But in people with more severe disease, it typically will last a year or even longer. So any notion that this is a trivial disease is incorrect.
We're talking with Dr. Tao Voss, who is on the Global Burden of Disease Research Team at the University of Washington's Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation. Do you think that we'll ever get back to the way of life, how it was before the pandemic? What will it mean for you if COVID remains with us? What's confusing about why there is no standard percentage to get to herd immunity? Still time, 800-642-1234. Back in a moment with Dr. Voss on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're looking at the complexities around herd immunity, why there's a debate and what constitutes it, and then what is the best metric to track our way out of this pandemic? Is it the vaccination rates, the variants, the number of hospitalizations or deaths, all of the above? Still time to discuss, 800-642-1234. Dr. Tao Voss is a professor of health metrics sciences at the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation, and with us for 10 more minutes. Mark is joining us from Green Bay with a question. Hi, Mark.
Hey, I just have one quick question. If 85 to 90% of the people in the world got vaccinated, would we wipe this out for good?
Well, I think 85% is a very high target. If I look at the proportions of people who currently at least say that they are reluctant unwilling to be vaccinated, but even at 85%, I predict that there will still continue to be pockets of infection and where we'll get transmission, and even countries that have very low levels of the disease could receive a number of new cases from which another surge would come. Now, the good thing is that if a large proportion of the population is vaccinated, they're very unlikely to become very ill and or even have these long COVID symptoms. So what we'll see is that going forward with high vaccination rates, the disease may still pop up from time to time, particularly in winter time when circumstances are more favorable to the virus. But we won't see the same corresponding overflowing of hospital wards and ICU wards.
Does that sound a little bit like having the flu, like the flu? Or not?
Well, I think people who are not vaccinated will continue to risk much more severe disease. But with the numbers of people vaccinated high enough, they will unlikely be requiring hospital treatment or ICU treatment. And so the burden on the health services is going to be coming down considerably, and so will also the number of deaths from corona. But you know, people who decide that they don't want to be vaccinated, they'll continue to put themselves at risk.
Now, your institute does projections for the pandemic. What trajectory are you expecting the pandemic to take in the coming months?
Depends on where you are. Of course, the prospects are dire in India and other parts of South Asia, and also alarmingly in some other countries in Southeast Asia. The situation is still very, very bad in Latin America, particularly in Brazil. But in the US, things are starting to look up. We've had this, a bit difficult to explain additional surge in Michigan, but there the numbers seem to be coming down as well. So my forecast is that because of the seasonal pattern of this disease, that we'll see a decline of the numbers going into the summer. Hmm. And if we can get a large enough proportion of the population vaccinated, then I think we will still see somewhat of a surge next winter, but it's will be far less intensive compared to what we've seen in the last year and a bit.
Dr. Voss, you brought up Brazil. You mentioned Brazil. And we heard from Mark and Kimberly, who called in, couldn't stay with us, and notes that in Brazil, the second wave of the disease was even worse, despite, Mark says, 50% of the population having had COVID in the first wave. So how could this be?
Yeah, and I think Mark is probably referring to what was happening in the Amazon region and the city of Manaus, where the first wave probably already infected more than half of the people. And nevertheless, we saw this second very large wave. So there we think that the protection from having had an initial infection with the original coronavirus was not enough to prevent getting infected again with the new variant P1, which originated in Brazil and is known to be much more transmissible and more infectious. And we've seen a similar thing happening in a trial in South Africa. The people who got the placebo vaccine, who had a history of previous corona infection, were as likely to become infected as the people who got the placebo vaccine who had not had a history of previous infection. So also the variant that is now dominant in South Africa is what we call an escape variant, where it's no longer gives you protection if you've had a previous infection.
We're talking with Dr. Tao Voss, a professor of health metrics sciences at the University of Washington's Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation. Joshua is joining us from Watertown. Hi, Joshua. What would you like to say?
Well, a question. I wanted to see how your guests felt about, has there any, or do you think that it would be any consequence to, if people got a fourth stimulus check, to mandate or give an opt-in option, if you wanted the fourth stimulus check, if there was one, that you need to bring your vaccine card stating that you got both shots to qualify for the fourth stimulus check, if there was one, would you think that that would make a difference and at least giving us a good chance to get rid of this virus?
Joshua, looking at providing a monetary incentive from the government, what are your thoughts there, Dr. Voss?
Yeah, with many things, we know that a carrot works better than a stick. And I would worry that, you know, if you take away a stimulus to people who are hesitant to be vaccinated, will further polarize the debate. So I'd rather look at incentives. I just saw today that New York City is advertising that foreign visitors can come and get a Johnson & Johnson vaccine as a bonus when they come. I saw people getting free baseball tickets and getting vaccinated at the baseball stadium. I think those more positive approaches, I think, are likely to be more effective than the more, you know, punishing stick kind of approaches.
I want to dig into one more thing here. Yesterday, your institute presented a new report that found COVID deaths have been grossly undercounted around the world. What is going on?
Well, our estimate is that for the whole of the U.S., there was an undercounting of probably around, you know, just over 50%. And that's not an unusual finding. Almost all countries in the world, even those with, you know, traditionally good registration systems, have missed many cases. And that, you know, can have been because systems were overwhelmed when the numbers were really high. It can also be that people weren't tested, even if the suspicion was high that the person died of COVID. If there wasn't a test, and particularly at the beginning of the epidemic, that was the case, then they wouldn't have been recognized as such. But, you know, there are parts of the world where we say, you know, there's a tenfold or more number of deaths that have occurred compared to what is being officially reported.
Dr. Voss, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
Dr. Tao Voss is a professor of health metrics sciences at the University of Washington's Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation. Just ahead, we look at the prospects for colonizing the final frontier, the cosmos, with a geneticist who's worked on seven NASA missions. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to the Ideas Network.